Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to Insane in the Membrane, Edinburgh Edition.
Insane in the Membrane.
This week, producer Paul and I were joined at Comedy Central HQ by the wonderful Steve Bouchier, again, who took time out of his busy Edinburgh schedule to come and have a chat with us. And again, like I said, it's Edinburgh season. This is all what we're talking about. This is all on our minds. We're engulfed in Edinburgh tension. But he came down and we had a good chat. Please welcome Steve Bouchier.
You know, talk about getting men to talk and open up, but there's a way of doing it without it. You know, about sitting there going, well, tell me about
that. Yeah.
So
when did you last cry?
Yeah. You just talk about, oh, man, I just got my knob trapped in the fridge. Oh, wow, how'd you do that? Well, a bit lonely.
I think mine might be a little less blokey than some of the others. Yeah. I've done a few mental health podcasts recently, weirdly, just in a row. I've got quite a depth at talking about my feelings.
So now you're fine. Yeah, this is
that's what men should do. They should all record 3 podcasts in quick succession.
It's getting to the point now where they're like, can you all shut up about it now?
Yeah.
Think we've done enough now?
Is it not fixed?
Yeah. Is it not fixed yet? It's the 3rd podcast I've done this week about this very subject. I think it's, well, you know, the... I was just saying to Ben last night, because of Edinburgh and the prep for Edinburgh seems to be all year round now. Last night, I'm going out, like Jay, because I've got my show and then Jay's doing her show, and so you're just surrounded.
You're directing her?
No. She's got a director. She's got someone else doing something else on it, and just just always people around her doing her show, and then I'm on my desk doing mine. I'm like, I'm going out. And what did I do? I went to watch comedy.
Did you?
Yeah. When I saw Kitson and Garrett Millerick at the Bill Murray.
Oh, nice.
To get some inspiration. And then had a few beers.
Did you get inspiration?
I got inspired and then I ruined it by having one too many beers. Oh, fuck. So I'm feeling it today. Yeah. And that's the thing. Now I've been sat in a prep. Far too inspired. I got to prep early and we're just sat there feeling sorry for myself, getting paranoid and... just texting people, hey, are we all right?
Really?
Yeah. Stupidity. Yeah.
Shit, how many do you have?
Far too many. Because not been drinking. I've sort of knocked it on the head because it was just, because I'm always driving, I'm always gigging.
Are we on, by the way? Is this it?
Yeah, man, this is it. Just chatting.
Oh, sorry. You really eased it. That was the most eased in start of a podcast ever.
Dude, it's a soft
it's so soft.
Soft entity. Yeah, because otherwise it's like... So anyway, welcome. Steve Bouchier.
I sit up and I'm like, oh, hello.
Yeah, and then it gets all weird. Yeah. So it's all about...
Sorry.
I've
ruined the start now.
That's fine. All right, this is our editor as well, so it'll make it...
Right, okay, fine. We'll cut this bit out.
Yeah. How's your Edinburgh prep going? You doing all right?
You know what? I feel much more on top of it than previous years because I went through absolute hell last year.
Really?
Like, really struggled. And
to put the show together? Or
yeah, just not enough time and just like mentally I was all over the place.
Right.
It's so time pressured that you can't even be efficient with the time you've got.
Yeah.
You know, like, because you're just worrying about how little time you've got.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I went out last night, because I was like, fuck this.
Yeah, so that, I was just a mess last year, basically, and it was just, I mean, the show ended up fine at the end, but it just wasn't a very nice process.
No.
So I've been very conscious of that this year to make sure that doesn't happen again, and it's worked. Like, I have been, I'm well ahead of schedule.
Excellent.
So it's been, I feel a lot less, I mean, I'm still stressed, don't get me wrong. I'm not like, you know, enjoying it, but it's not fun. I wouldn't recommend it, but I'm not like having a breakdown. I'm not having anxiety dreams. For example, I've only had one anxiety dream since this Edinburgh, whereas last year I was having multiple a night.
I've had a few this time. I think it's because it's my first paid year. Normally I do 3 fringe,
right?
It's a little, it's much more stress free.
Where are you on?
I'm at Gildy Balloon, 4:30. Yeah,
where what do your anxiety dreams look like?
I keep dreaming about all my ex-girlfriends and of them, and they're all ignoring me and waiting for their current partners to arrive.
Right. Is it at a gig then, or is it just like...
I'm just sat in a room.
Because that sounds like a gig. How many are there? Is that enough for an audience? It's probably more than a normal Edinburgh crowd.
There's a bucket at the end. I have to pay them back for all the shit that I did.
The reviews, though, brutal.
Yeah, this can't. So yeah, that's what it's been happening lately. I've been sat in a room with my exes, and they're all, and I'm trying to talk to them and go, so how are you? Well, and I'm like, I don't give a fuck, I'm waiting for Dave, you know, that sort of shit. So
does Dave ever turn up?
Dave always turns up. Yeah, I know, he's punctual.
Is Dave a real guy, or is he a made up guy in your head?
There are real guys, yeah, but I think I've amalgamated them all into this one dude,
Dave.
Yeah,
he sounds
Dave.
Great, to be honest, mate. He sounds really cool.
I might see if he fancies going out. He sounds like a bit of a legend.
Yeah. I want to go see his show. What time's he up? I bet he's on at the Pleasants.
He's probably clash with me, so I can't see him.
Yeah.
But your show, I've not. It's called what's it called? Single Mum.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Jade about it. It sounds incredible.
Yes. Yeah, me and Jade did a preview together a month ago. Yeah. And it's just about my mum being single when I was growing up.
And you had to interview her potential suitors.
Well, I had to. Yeah, I was vetting them. You know, I mean, I was 7 years old, so I didn't have a huge amount of experience in the field of men. But I was just making sure they were good enough for my mum. You know.
Yeah. Right.
And the answer was always they were never good enough for my mum.
Of course not.
But yeah, I wanted to write a positive story about single parents, because you see so much negativity. You see so much, like the media portray it as, you know, struggling single mom or single mom scrounging on benefits, all that kind of stuff. It's just like everywhere. And you never, and obviously that does happen, and it is tough for a lot of families. However, you know, I think a lot of people have quite positive experiences of single parents, and I just wanted to tell that story and put some jokes in it. And my dad is terrified.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he's got to come see the show.
Oh, shit.
He's got to pay to see it. I'm not going to give him a free ticket. So he's got to pay to see a show about his ex-wife. And he's got to say he enjoyed it, because that's what dad's, you know what I mean? He can't, afterwards, he's got to go, that was really good, Steve.
Have you still got a good relationship with him?
Yeah, I see him. Yeah. Not, I didn't see him loads, but yeah, I'm closer to my mum, I'd say.
Yeah, right.
But they'll both come see it individually. Yeah. Different.
So they're not, they haven't got a good relationship. They're not talking to each other.
Well, they don't speak. Yeah, it's been like 20 years or whatever.
Yeah. But, man.
But yeah, I'm excited. I think it's going to be really good. It's a sort of silly story, but also heartwarming.
Yeah.
And I think you don't see many men talking about being close to their mum.
No, not really.
It's almost not frowned upon, but it's almost kind of like seems weak in it to talk about being a mummy's boy or like.
Yes.
It seems weird sometimes. But I've always been quite a proud mummy's boy, so I thought I'd just embrace that this year.
Yeah, why not?
Just talk about it.
That's a lovely thing. I like the fact you said it's heartwarming.
Oh yeah, it's definitely heartwarming. I mean, my mum genuinely is quite scared about the show.
Really?
You would be, wouldn't you? If someone, you know, your kids were in a flipping show about you dating, wouldn't you? So the first thing she said to me was, "Stephen, please don't make me sound like a tart." And I was like, "Mum, look, I'm going to tell the story, all right? However that comes across is not my problem. But no, she's very much the star of the show. She's not,
you're not slagging her off, I'm not slagging her off,
very much comes across as she's a good mum. But it's a nice journey, like there's a nice, I think there's a good story to it.
That's really nice, because with Edinburgh, it just seems to be like you need a, you know, quite a, especially at the moment, people seem to be writing more, they're like lectures rather than having a comedy, like last year.
But they're trying to make a point before the joke, aren't they?
Yeah, and you're like last year when people were coming in and I was like, look, this is just me trying to make you laugh for maybe nearly an hour, but maybe not. It probably won't get that far.
Probably 51.
Yeah, 51, probably tops.
Yeah.
And you can see people's shoulders drop and go, oh, thank fuck for that.
Yeah.
Because they've just
been
pounded all day with stuff they already know about.
Yeah,
you know, they're not idiots.
Preachers to
convert, isn't it? Yeah, exactly. So that's nice.
No, I'm conscious of that. I've always done stories. I love stories. Like, I enjoy watching hours of stand up, but I personally find it like after half an hour jokes, I'm just like, oh, okay.
I'm
done now. So I always try and put a story in it to like keep it, just to keep the audience interested, really.
Yeah.
But I've never gone for the like, you know, making a point thing too much. I mean, sometimes it's in there naturally. But I never do a show about, this is a show about masculinity or whatever, you know, whatever people do. I try and just do silly stories and then weave it all together at the end. That's my favourite bit.
And at
the ending, the reactions at the end are always the nicest bit.
Do you enjoy the writing process?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, that's my favourite bit.
Yeah, nice.
Maybe I shouldn't be a performer, actually. Maybe I should just write.
Behind the scenes.
No, I love the preview as well. I mean, you know, there's no better feeling, is there, than doing a preview and you've got a load of new ideas and then you come off, even if it's a rubbish preview, but if some of those ideas worked, that's better than doing any gig, like,
true,
getting paid loads of money for a normal, you know what I mean, like that doing nothing, it's just, that's the best. So I'd quite enjoy this time of year for that, but it's also quite stressful.
Yeah. Do you have any sort of, like I said, I went out last night and got fucked, which I probably shouldn't have done.
Didn't say that. It's got worse the more you told the story. At first, you said a few beers, and then you said a few beers, and now you're saying fucked.
I'm now summing it up. I got fucked last night.
Right.
Because the pressure was just getting too much. I was too. All I was thinking about is all I've been doing is just driving and comedy and
this. Yeah.
And the fact that I went to comedy was kind of ridiculous, but you know,
yeah, but sometimes that's...
like I say, it was, you know, it was Garrett Millerick and Daniel Kitson, and I just needed to see where they were at, and
yeah,
and you know,
don't compare yourself to Daniel Kitson, I reckon.
Mate, listen, I'm a working class Daniel Kitson. I don't even know this.
Who says that?
Write this down. It was just good to see, and you go, well, you know, Kitson went up there with a book with no writing on it. It just said a man written on this bit of paper.
Right.
And then riffed for an hour.
Hate that.
and then was going, oh, that's a good thing. Well, let me write that down. As he's on. That's where he's at now. I'm not at that level
yet.
Lazy. But do you have anything to take the pressure off? What do you do?
So I've been trying to do a few things this year. I try and take breaks, basically. So last week, I basically took the week off. Not completely, but I was doing other stuff, non-Edinburgh stuff. So I wrote scripts or whatever. But just detach myself from the show a bit, because it does get a bit intense, doesn't it? And I've made a massive difference, because now, you know, I started looking at it again this morning. So it's probably 10 days took off since the last preview.
Oh, nice.
And it, like, you just feel so fresh. And also those ideas that you were like, oh, I want to keep hold of that, even though it's not working that well.
Yeah.
Now, with a, you know, bit of distance from it, you're like, oh yeah, I'm just going to get rid of it, I don't care. And you're just better at writing.
Yes.
So that's one thing I've done this year, just to give myself that space. But that, I'm only fortunate enough to do that because I've started earlier.
Yeah, right.
Whereas last year, there's no way I'm going to take 10 days off. Jesus. But yeah, it's been better. And I just feel more comfortable doing it.
Yeah.
You know, there's less, like, I'll make gradual improvements each preview, rather than going, oh my God, this preview's got to be perfect. I just go, like, this is the bit I'm going to change this preview. It's the only bit I care about. And if that bit works, then that's success. If it doesn't, well, that's fine. We'll, you know, try something else. And rather than, like, trying to change the whole show.
Yeah.
For example, I haven't learned it yet.
I'm
nowhere near learning it.
Do you write it down long form?
There is a version of that, but I have bullet points for on stage. So it just, like, alleviates all that need to learn your script, because, like, you spend half the time learning it, and then you change it anyway.
Yeah.
So you might as well not learn it and spend more time writing it.
Yeah, I always like to write down the idea.
Yeah.
And then just go and talk,
talk about
it,
the idea.
And then it'll just, because then it just sound, because what I want to do, I want it to sound like I'm just talking to you rather than talking at you.
Right.
I want it to sound more conversational.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm very scripted though.
Right.
Like, very scripted.
Yeah.
So if you watch, I mean, I did, my, the way I see, this is probably the wrong way of viewing it, but the way I see an Edinburgh show is, for me, once it's done, if you come see it on different nights, it shouldn't be any different.
Yeah, right.
I'm not saying everyone should do that, but I mean, that's how I see my shows. And I know a lot of comedians will be like, that's ridiculous. It should be different every night.
It should be more organic.
Yeah. I get that. But I see Edinburgh as like a theatre performance almost, and just like write the script. But obviously tweet the script, like keep changing the jokes and making it great. And then once it's done, that's it.
That's done.
And I mean, obviously, it does evolve with Edinburgh naturally.
Yeah.
And you do stuff in the room, of course,
because
I'm a comedian.
Yeah.
But like, I see this show as like a thing that I've written.
Do you get caught up in the bullshit of Edinburgh? Like all the...
Completely.
The reviews.
Every year, I'm like, not reading reviews this year, they don't matter. Every year, Carl Donnelly, we go for a beer at the beginning, usually, and he says, don't bother reading reviews, it's pointless.
Mm.
And I go, yeah, you know what, Carl, you're right, actually. This year, I'm not going to read them. 2 days later, I'm searching myself.
Oh, mate,
Twitter.
Yeah. Oh,
and
God.
And then once I've read one, I'm like, well, I've read one now, I might as well read all of them. And and that's when the spiral of despair begins. You know?
Yeah.
Because you're not satisfied by the good ones. Nothing good comes out of them, because there'll be something in there that makes you angry.
Yeah.
Or you just think, well, yeah, of course, that's how good it should be. Right. I'm not going to praise myself for that. Of course it should be that when it starts.
It just should be just one word, genius, and five stars.
Yeah. But even then, I'll be like, well, why have they not written more? Why have they not noticed these? So there's nothing good. So I know you shouldn't read reviews. And I would love to get to the stage where I don't read them. But I don't know if I'm ever going to get to that stage.
I think it's the same with everybody. Everyone goes up there and says, I'm not reading them. And then it only takes to bump into another act and go, oh, mate, that reviewing.
Yeah.
You go, and then you're like,
they're a bit nasty.
And you go, oh, God. Yeah, I did a gig years ago with Brett Goldstein and Catherine Ryan. We were in Ibiza, did a gig. And
Jesus.
And Brett and I fucking died, man. It was at a jet ski festival. And lovely people, but Brett and I didn't do very well. And then Catherine and I went on and smashed it. And and then I came away, I was like, oh, it is what it is. And then someone messaged me from the gig and went, oh, really good to see you. Shame about that review. Oh, you prick, you absolute prick. And of course I had to go and find it. And of course it wasn't very nice.
Yeah.
And then they're lovely people. The woman that I saw at the weekend up in Sunderland, and she, and I said to her, I said, oh, that review was shit, wasn't it? Laughing. She went, yeah, she says, I've still got it on my phone. What?
Gosh.
So yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, we shouldn't really put any stock on what these people say about us, really.
No, as long as the audience in front of you enjoy it.
No, but then having said that, I still pay thousands of pounds every year to get them to come. So, you know, it's very hypocritical for me to say I'm not going to read them.
How many Edinburghs is this now?
It's my fifth.
Jesus Christ.
So I should be more better at not reading them, but I mean, I love going. I've just gone every year, so I do love it.
How long have you been doing comedy now?
9 years, 8 years.
Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, I started pretty young and then I went to Edinburgh pretty quickly.
Did you always want to be a comedian?
No, not really. Even now, I'm not sure.
It's not that bad.
I love it. I definitely didn't. I wanted to be a politician, that's what I wanted to be.
Really?
When I was a kid.
Are you still interested in politics? I mean, especially what's going on at the moment.
Like I'm a real politics nerd. I read like everything, but I never talk about it on stage, which I think it is a bit odd. But it's probably
it's my
most passionate topic.
Really?
But I don't talk about it on stage. But I just think there's loads of comedians who do politics. So,
yeah, but
I'm not one of them. My angle on stage isn't Nish Kumar. So
no.
I think I've got my thing. I'm just going to do that and keep politics aside.
Even though I've seen a couple of comedians that they are known as being political comics, and they've struggled a few times because the audience are so sick and tired of all the bollocks that's going on.
Yeah. And I just sort of think I want to make people laugh.
Yeah.
That's silly stories and doing more kind of social observation stuff. So that's just a choice. But I still love politics. I listen to Matt Ford's podcast.
Really?
He's great, isn't he, Matt? I love that so much.
He's a funny boy.
I sort of fanboy of him a little bit. Like, we are mates, but he's one of the few comics where when I'm in a car with him, I'm like, I know I'm going to have the best day of my life. Like, he's so funny.
He speaks about politics in a way that I understand. That's what I love about him.
He makes it cool.
Yeah.
He should teach politics.
He should.
To the nation.
Yeah.
And it would make them love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Layman's terms.
But just doing the impressions and stuff. Even my mum would be like, oh, actually, this is quite cool. Ed Miliband does sound like a dork.
But you must look at it, the mess that's going on at the minute, and just...
Oh, yeah, despair.
It's fucked.
It's so frustrating as well, how sort of pointless all this argument is. I mean, how have you... I mean, not going to get into Brexit or whatever, but...
No.
Like, it just seems there's other things that are more important that
we
should be spending our time on. And it's just taken up, like, so long.
So much money as well.
Yeah, so much money. It's so frustrating. But also from a political nerd point of view, very entertaining. You know, purely from a theatre point of view. If you forget about the lives that have been affected, if you just look at the pure drama.
350,000 homeless people.
Yeah. Forget that. The drama of it, you know, the gossip, the ups and downs of the Conservative leadership election, it's great. But then when you realise the consequences of some of these behaviours, you're like, oh, actually, it's really bad.
Yeah.
But I think Matt Ford's very good at just going, nah, it's all the gossip, it's all the drama.
He's excellent at it. It really gives you a peek behind the scenes.
Yeah,
he's very cool. You mentioned you mentioned mental health earlier.
Mm.
Is it something you struggle with?
Well, I never thought I did.
No.
I thought I was a very sort of stable, grounded person. And then last year, I really struggled.
Right.
Basically this time last year, for various like personal reasons and Edinburgh.
Mm.
And it was just too much. Like, everyone got too much for me. And I just didn't deal with it that well.
No.
I sort of like closed up and just got through Edinburgh basically. I just like kind of, it was almost survival mode to get through. Yeah. And then I almost crashed afterwards. And I went for like a breakup and it was all a bit messy.
The same time.
Yeah, a breakup during Edinburgh. It wasn't ideal. This is sort of my fault. It's funny now, but the show, I'd written a show about not... The show was about thinking my girlfriend was going to dump me, and at the end of the show, she didn't dump me, right? That was the story. It was a silly story. All made up, right?
Yeah.
And then she did dump me. At the beginning of Edinburgh. So every night I was going on stage going, she didn't dump me, see you later, guys. And then off stage I was like, oh, God, she did. Oh, no.
Wow.
So it was a bit of a disaster. But I, yeah, so I thought there was a few things in my behaviour. I was like, oh, that's not very good, you know, and I don't think I dealt with that very well. Mm. So I vowed to go to therapy, right?
Yes.
I'd heard about it, read about a few people saying, people that I would regard as not particularly needing it.
Yeah.
Was saying they were going and they got a lot from it. So I was like, oh, maybe I should do that. And then obviously I didn't book it. You know, like, it gets to October and you're like, oh, I'm pretty fine now, I reckon.
Yeah,
and
I leveled out.
Yeah, I just bury that under the carpet a little bit. And then in February I started going.
Right, okay.
So it took me a while. Yeah. I did it. And there's just one really near me. That was the main reason. Just
convenience.
Geography, really. And 30 quid a session, reasonable.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's great. And I just go every Tuesday. And
it's helped.
So much.
Yeah, like, it's good to just get it out of your head, isn't it?
Game changer. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's nothing like that deep. It's just like me moaning. It's me talking to myself for an hour. But it just saves me doing it to my friends. And what it is, genuinely, the biggest thing is, every time I get a bit down or like I get a bit stressed about something, you know, it could be career things or it could be personal things, in that moment, I just go, oh, I can talk about this on Tuesday. And I'm always excited. I've got something to talk about. Yeah. I'm like, oh, great. I've got enough rubbish in my life to talk about on Tuesday.
And
I store it. It's like building up material, right? For new material gigs. I see these therapy sessions as like new material gigs. And then I turn up on Tuesday. I'm like, oh, I've got some good stuff for you today.
Strap in.
She's like, wow, what have you got? And I'm like, oh, boy. So, yeah, a bit of help. Like, and but the thing is, by banking it and going, oh, I'm going to talk about it on Tuesday, it almost alleviates some of that worry.
Yeah, you're putting it in a box.
Exactly. And it knows that I'm going to deal with that later. And it just like means I can get on with my day so much more. Whereas before, I was getting caught up in those things.
Yeah,
it's ruining days. And it's, you know, I wouldn't pretend I have the worst mental health. I'm sure people, there's a lot worse, but I felt like it was affecting my happiness.
Getting in your own way.
So, and it's, you know, it's not, I'm not perfect now, but it's made a massive difference.
Absolutely. I think everybody should go and talk to someone.
Yeah. I would recommend it to every single person in the world. And it's just like nice to talk about yourself for an hour. that is a good, and she never mentions herself once. I don't know anything about her.
She'll marry her.
I don't know anything about her. Although, oh my God, I think I'm going to need to talk about what happened in my most previous therapy session in the next therapy session, because I fucking walked in. Oh God, I'm so socially awkward when I greet people. And I never know, you know, what to do. And I walked in and, oh God, she was sat down.
Yeah.
And I didn't close the door behind me, right? And I just came in, I was like, hey, and she got up. She got up. And I thought, she wants a hug. Oh God. Oh. So I went in to hug and she went, oh no, I'm just going to close the door. And I was like, oh God. Oh. And then I went, of course you don't hug your therapist, Steve. And then I sat down and it was like a terrible start. And you could see that she was getting a notepad out going, this is gold. This is gold.
Right, her own show.
Yeah.
You're listening to Insane in the Membrane's Edinburgh season. Scroll back through our past episodes from season one to hear from other comedians playing this year's Edinburgh Festival, including Phil Ellis, Simon Evans, Nick Revel, George Rigdon, Jen Brister, and Ishan Akbar. All those podcasts and this episode have Edinburgh show details within the podcast description. Expand the details section on your app and come and see us.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is made by Dark Horse Digital. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.
I had one the other day. I had that classic one where you think someone's waving at you.
Oh God!
And then you wave back, and they're waving at someone behind you. And I went like that. I went, oh, dickhead!
God,
and then it looked at me like, what are you waving at?
Did you know them?
I didn't know anyone. They were just waving, and I waved back.
Because it would have been worse if you had known them. And they were like, no, I wasn't waving. I know you.
Although I went to see Quotas Full, the podcast with Kay Curd and everybody, and I didn't realise, I didn't know they knew I was there, or they hadn't, I didn't realise, they didn't, as they were coming into the room, I was sat the other side, but I was obviously lit somehow, and they walked in, and they were all pointing and waving, and it took me a minute, and I'm sat like this against the wall, so there's no one behind me,
yeah,
and I'm kind of just doing that, it's like looking around,
once around,
it is me,
oh, no, don't wave back.
I've done that a few times, when someone's on the train says hello, and and they're not talking to you, you're on the phone. I've done that a few times.
Those moments.
And are you still going over that in your head?
I mean, it ruined the therapy session, to be honest, because...
Oh, really?
The whole time I was just thinking, what is she thinking? Like, does she, yeah. Because obviously, she probably can't legally hug me. It's probably like a rule.
Yeah, there's probably something somewhere, touching.
Yeah, don't touch her. So
don't touch your therapist.
Yeah.
Rule number one. Rule number two, shut the door when you walk in.
That's the new rule. That's my new rule. Always shut the door.
Shut the door.
To prevent this kind of stuff happening. Anyway, it's going very well. She's very nice. And she just listens, basically.
And you feel it's beneficial.
Yeah, it feels great. Sometimes I leave that and I'm like, oh, God, that was heavy. You know, and you feel a bit emotional for the next few hours. But then sometimes I just sort of, strut out. But, yeah, I'd recommend it to everyone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tuesday morning sorts me out. Also, good time of the week to do it, I think.
Yeah.
You've had, especially for a comedian, like you've had the weekend.
That's it.
It's a bit of a downtime.
Yeah.
It's great.
Oh, definitely. I had it for a little while. I had it for it was the best thing I ever did. And then naturally it got to a point where I was like, I don't need to come here anymore.
Really?
We're done now.
What was the...
He
run out of stuff to talk about.
There was one day he was sat... And he was opposite me and he kept yawning and shifting in his seat. I'm like, are you all right? And he goes, you're very angry. There's a lot of anger coming off of you. And I was like, is there? He went, he goes, it's exhausting. Like, it's really coming at me. And he was yawning and I just went, we're dumb. I don't need to be here anymore. I said, turns out that's what was making me angry. Just him moving around and yawning. You're pissing me off, mate.
He'd gone full circle.
We're done.
At first he did it and then he was causing the issues.
But it was really good. I'm glad I went, and he helped me out.
That's good.
Massively.
Made
me realise a few things.
Sometimes she says things like says to me like, I'll tell a story about someone I'm worried about, but I'll be smiling the whole way through because I deliberately don't make a lot of jokes. Like, I'm conscious of doing that.
Yeah, you're not performing.
I'm not performing, but I am. I do sort of lighten up a bit. And then she'll say, Steve, you just told quite a sad story there, and you smiled the whole way through. And I'll be like, I guess I did a bit. All right, I probably should deal with that.
Well, here we are.
Yeah. I'm like, no, that's your problem, you deal with that, that's your job, right?
I'm not here to do your job for you, love. It's funny that you don't realise subconsciously there's so much going on inside you know what I mean, inside yourself, that I've had that loads of times. People going, "Oh, yeah, you seem to be suppressing stuff and pushing stuff down." I'm like, "No, I feel fine. Stop touching me. What are you fucking looking at?"
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's funny, like the things that you, like little things, have obviously bothered you that you've forgotten about, and then it comes out when you're talking about a certain issue.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Oh, that was 15 years ago, Steve. But you're mentioning that," and I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I guess that bothered me though."
I feel a lot more, I'm a lot more confident in saying when something's pissed me off or when I'm troubled by something now. I don't know if that's an age thing or just I'm just in a better place, a bit more zen.
Yeah. Or you're just not bothered out having as many friends.
Yeah. No, that's it. Yeah, listen, before we begin, I have enough friends. You really fucked me off yesterday.
I don't need you. So I'm
don't need you. So I'm going to just be honest.
Whereas
with you.
I'm still very much in the gathering friends stage of life.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm not done yet. I feel.
I'm
losing them. Like, fucking all keep leaving London. Keep moving, either to settle down or fucking go abroad with jobs.
Oh really?
And I'm like,
they're all deserting
I'm
you, mate.
Stuck. was, you know, back in the day when I had the coolest job, you know, it's like, oh, Steve's a comedian.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, they're all working in offices, and now one's going to work in Jamaica. I'm like, fuck. Like, doing a bloody gig in King's Lynn tomorrow.
Well, we are as well.
You mean, you actually are doing a gig. Sorry, I didn't mean to bring you down with me. But, no disrespect to King's Lynn.
No, King's Lynn's very nice.
I'm not looking forward to it.
I've done it a few times. It's a nice gig.
No, it is nice.
It's a nice gig with some nice people. It's just far. It's
that's
far.
The thing, it's far.
You it go,
far.
Oh, it's only there. It's far.
It's far. And also when you're coming from South, West London.
Yeah.
Really far.
Is that where you live? Is that where you're from?
No. I grew up in Hertfordshire.
Oh, did you?
Just north of London. But yeah, I live sort of Tooting way now.
Okay.
But what I was going to say about the effect the therapy's had on me in terms of, you said about the you feel like you can say things to people,
yes,
like they're pissed you off. I say that to myself less, so like I used to be very hard on myself,
right?
Like if I did anything wrong, you know, like if I wasn't as productive one morning as I thought I was going to be,
yeah,
I'd be like, fucking hell, Steve, you've ruined it, you don't deserve to be successful, you know. And in my head I'd be like, fuck, I bet Russell Howard works harder than this. I bet James Acaster doesn't fucking have a yogurt for an hour. You know, stuff like that. And I'll beat myself up about it for ages. It's more than the actual unproductiveness. And it was so stupid. And now I'm just a lot less hard on myself.
Yeah.
I'm much more like, oh, it's right, you had a bit of a rubbish morning.
Yeah.
And then I'll be better in the afternoon. And I am. I'm now much more productive because I'm easier on myself.
Yes.
So that's been a thing, because that's, it came up pretty quickly in therapy, how hard I am on myself,
yeah, right,
and how unnecessarily strict I am.
I was always, because everybody else seemed to be, they'd be up with a lark and then they 2 hours writing first thing in the morning, and I'd beat myself up because I wasn't doing that.
Yeah. But they're not really doing that.
Well, yeah, exactly. I know that now. I just seemed like everyone was doing it. You know? It does make me laugh when I see someone put a picture up of their laptop and a notepad. Today's office. And they go, what? That doesn't...
You've not done anything.
You haven't done anything.
You've tweeted that.
Productive.
Yeah.
And it's... But now I don't beat myself up because my... me being productive comes at different times in the day.
I just
have to go with it when it comes. And, well, I know it'll come at some point.
Mm.
But whenever... It might be in the evening if I'm at home, or it might be, you know... It just comes, so I just have to go with it.
Also, have you ever been to an actual office?
Yeah.
Sometimes when I've been on writing jobs and you have to go and sit in a, you know,
a
production office or whatever, and you just see how little they do all day.
Just sitting around talking about the ideas.
They make cups of tea all the time, and they're just chatting about the weekend. I'm like, are you kidding me? Have I done this little in the morning? I'd have had a meltdown again. I'd have had another James Acaster, Russell Howard meltdown, but you not. I'm just going for lunch at Nando's, you know? So it makes you feel less bad when I go into those offices.
I think that's the key, is reminding yourself that, like you've just said, people aren't as productive as they're making out.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
And as long as you get stuff done,
don't
be so hard on yourself.
And also, you can't set unrealistic expectations, because that's when you get annoyed at yourself.
Yes.
Because if you set an unrealistic expectation, obviously you're not going to meet it.
No.
So now basically I've lowered the bar. I've just made it easier for myself. You know, like on FIFA when you go, oh, it's too hard on expert, I'm going to go down to amateur, and it's just that you're better, you feel better at football. And that's what I do now basically on comedy.
It's true, isn't it? You just have to lower the bar. So I was reading the other day and it said part of depression is beating yourself up because you've not been productive.
Yeah.
And when I read that, I went, brilliant, I'm depressed. It's got a label now, so it doesn't matter. I can just...
Right, yeah.
So there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, going back to what we were saying about therapy, I just think it's very important just to get it off your chest.
Yeah.
Like with Jade the other day, Jade was talking about, she'd been overwhelmed with everything that's going on. And she said, I can't handle it. I went, stick it in an email, send the email to me. And not that I'll have any answers, but it just gets it off the page.
That's nice.
Yeah. And it just gets it out of your head.
If you
start writing it all down, and then it worked as well.
Yeah.
It's the same, I've heard this as well, when people have sadly lost somebody that they love, but they've got still things they want to say to them, you know? So write it in a letter. And someone did this, they wrote it in a letter, and then they had a bonfire, and then they put the letter in the fire, and so the smoke goes up.
Right.
And so subconsciously, it's going to them.
Yeah. I've read a thing about, so if you're really angry at someone, if you're angry, someone's wronged you in some way, write it all down in a letter.
Yeah.
Like, to them, going like, I'm angry you did this, blah, blah. I'm like, really slag them off and be really strict on them. And then don't send the letter.
Yes. Yeah, I've read about that.
You should feel better.
Yeah. Just, again, gets it out of you.
My approach is, though, send the letter.
Hand deliver it. Lick the back of it, stick it to their forehead.
Yeah. Read it to them aloud.
Strap onto a chair.
Send it them
read
as,
it
as a podcast.
Yeah. So who's wronged you? Who's wronged you, Steve? Do you want to?
No, you know what? I don't really get angry at anyone. I get occasionally my management, but you know, normally the
management
I
mean, that sat right here.
One of them sat right
here. Hey Ben, how are you, mate?
Very rarely Ben, actually. Ben's good.
Ben's represented. You mean the monster behind Ben?
Yeah. But yeah. Only you know. But then often the thing I'm angry about is like, that's because you didn't do this thing. You know, and it's my fault. Usually.
Yeah, right.
So that's usually where the anger is directed towards.
Yeah.
Or it's that directed at things they can't control anyway. Mm.
Do you ever? I know a lot of one of the mistakes that we make as performers is looking at what our peers and contemporaries
big
are doing.
Time.
Do you get caught up in that?
I've got better recently.
Yeah.
But that was my biggest flaw.
Right.
Like I was constantly doing that.
Yeah.
And every management meeting with my manager at the time, James, the meetings would basically go, "What this person's doing this. Why am I not doing that? And he would go, because you're not that person.
Yeah.
And I go, yeah, but we start at the same time. And
so I must be able to do
yeah,
that.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So I should have been capable of doing that. And he'd be like, yeah, but you don't do clowning, Steve. You know, it's really obvious.
This is specific to...
this job was only for females, and you are not a female.
Yeah. Like, but we started at the same time.
Yeah, but Steve.
sit down. Listen.
We're the same age. So there was a lot of that going on. Yeah, and there was like two or three people that I would, you know, fixate on.
Mm.
And even if like objectively I was doing better than them, I would still get annoyed at little things that happened. So eventually he was quite strict with me and said, Steve, if you say someone else's name in one of our meetings ever again, in that context, of like comparing yourself, then
I'll write you a letter.
I won't answer it, basically. So, I just stopped doing it, and I still do it a bit naturally, but I definitely get less annoyed. Like if I see someone on Twitter, I'm just like not bothered anymore.
I always, again, whether it's age or I'm just more chilled out now, I just go, Jade and I have conversations, and you kind of go, no, that's good for them. I'm really pleased for them. I'm doing my stuff, they're doing theirs.
Yeah.
Well done. I'm nothing but pleased for you.
But it's a uniquely difficult industry. I mean, there are other ones similar, but it's because we're so... because it's so competitive,
and it's
so individual. Like the things we're doing is all us.
Yeah.
So
I suppose it also depends on what you want out of it.
Yeah.
Because I've said this before. I said it to someone the other day, and I said that if you got into this, and your sole goal is to be famous.
Yeah.
Then you're gonna get hurt.
Yeah.
You need to be successful. You know, to be known for doing good things, for doing something good.
Yeah.
It's much more better than just being well known, you know?
Yeah, totally.
I think that's where a lot of people fall down.
Yeah, I think it is. But that's not so much why sometimes I get fixated on that stuff, on like the number of followers I've got and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But the bigger things I get fixated on are like what people think of me.
Yes.
You know? So I have a perception of what I think other people are like.
Right.
So I've like, in my head, I'm like, oh, these are the cool comedians. These are the really respected comedians. And in my head, my default for what everyone thinks of me is, oh, everyone thinks I'm a piece of shit. Like, everyone thinks I'm a really shit comedian who is just lucked out and can't tell a joke. And then when everyone says anything to me that, like, goes against that, so, you know, if someone says, oh, people like your show or whatever it is, I just ignore that, right?
Yeah.
So I go, they didn't mean that. That's their line. And then if I see anything that reinforces my opinion of myself.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that's it. That's what everyone thinks of me. Everyone thinks I'm dirt. If someone misspells my name on a poster, I'm like, fuck, that proves it. That proves that no one gives a shit about me. That proves that no one even knows who I am. They probably think I'm Adam Hess. You know, like that. And I've got better, but there's still this underlying low self-esteem.
Yeah.
Which basically that's the cause of everything. So like, I have moments of being confident and almost deluded level of confidence.
Yeah, really?
If I have like a few gigs in a row where I'm feeling great, I'm like, yeah, I'm the best comedian in the world.
Yeah.
But then it only takes one small thing for me to come crashing back down. And it goes back to the default of like, oh yeah, you don't deserve to be here.
Right,
you're an imposter, you're not a funny person.
No, mate, I had it last week. I did Download Festival.
Oh yeah.
And I did all right. I did brilliant.
But no, I heard, mate, actually.
And I'd driven all that way. And it was just like being in the trenches in World War I, I imagine. It was awful.
I think it was like that.
Yeah, yeah, it was awful. Yeah, just a load of heavy metal fans screaming at each other.
I think World War One would have been the D-Day guys had seen, heard you say that. That was World War II, though. Jesus Christ.
Speaking of us,
very ignorant.
Speaks with a place of privilege. I imagine that's exactly the same. It's exactly the same.
Yeah.
They had hot dog vans.
Yeah, yeah. At least those guys got to play a game of football.
Yeah. Exactly. And it was, I drove back going, yeah, fuck comedy, I'm going to quit. Bollocks to this, I'm shit at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
It's amazing how quickly you swing, isn't it? I don't know if you're, so I go from, you know, yeah, driving back from a gig, go, yeah, this is it. Man, this is over. I don't know, maybe I'm a teacher. And then next morning you just get one positive email and you're like, oh, wow, I'm going to probably live in Hampstead Heath, I reckon, in about a year.
that's the pinnacle.
Yeah,
you're right, actually. I used to live in Crouch End for a bit and ride my bike up around Hampstead.
Yeah.
Yeah, one day.
One day.
One of these houses with this driveway that's bigger than my house.
They're not happy either, though, are they? They're all the comedians in there are going, oh, God.
Yeah. He's done six nights at the O2.
Yeah, yeah, I'm a fraud. No one likes me.
Do you have that? Because I don't have that anymore. I used to have imposter syndrome.
Mm.
But I think it just goes away the longer you do it.
Yeah, it's definitely got better. I had it massively at the beginning. I definitely thought I wasn't a comedian. I just thought I was like this person who worked quite hard and was quite good at pretending to be a comedian, you know? And now I'm like, oh no, everyone feels like that. That's what everyone is. That's what a comedian is.
So I
definitely feel better.
I feel I've earned my place now.
Yeah. Right.
I'll be 15 years in October.
Okay, yeah.
But I feel I've earned it now. So when I don't feel out of place in green rooms anymore. So I'm like, no, I've done the miles.
Yeah.
I've done my stints in Edinburgh and I've earned my stripes and I should be here, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that's good. That's a nice feeling. It depends what green room I'm in. if certain green rooms, I'm like, yeah, I belong here. But if I'm like, still, if I go to the London Comedy Store, I'm like, oh, God, oh, I don't belong it. This is awful, scary. And then Jeff Innocent walks in, you're like, oh God.
Yeah. He's a pussycat, really.
Oh, Jeff. Lovely man, but but you can't, all those things come back of like, oh, God, he's been going 30 years
That's
or whatever.
Yeah. Especially the Comedy Store. Even now, many comedians talk about the Comedy Store because it's the Comedy Store.
There's still an awe.
Fuck, you know that. And it only takes one shit gig for them to go, yeah, listen, we're not going to use you anymore.
Yeah.
So there is an added pressure to that.
Yeah. You know? Certain gigs just make me feel small again.
Mm.
So weirdly, when I do Frog and Bucket, because that's where I started in Manchester.
Oh, really?
It's a club in Manchester, and I did Beat the Frog, right? The gong show, and the music they play before that gong show still now if I hear it makes me feel small, like makes me feel like you're just a little child trying to do comedy, aren't you? Pathetic little man. there's certain places where I feel more secure than others.
Yeah, it's funny because we used to do Jonglers a lot, and their walk-on music was Robbie Williams' Let Me Entertain You.
Yeah.
So now many comics will say this: if you hear it in a shop, you get the butterflies in there. Like, it's like a Pavlovian response. Whoa, God! I've got to go and talk about my dick for 20 minutes.
You go to the shop assistant. Go, what do you do? You're a cunt.
Shit. Yeah. Any stag do's in? So you feel you're in a better place? You said you're in a better place this year.
So much better place. I mean, we'll see when we get to Edinburgh. People might watch my show and go, no, Steve, I think you needed the stress, actually. This is way too relaxed.
It's dog shit.
No, I feel so much happier. And I feel I'm not putting as much pressure on it. You know, like, I feel like a lot of the unhappiness comes from just me not meeting unrealistic expectations. So when I put those expectations on, then, you know, the happiness kind of goes up a bit. So yeah, I just feel happier, and in general, my personal life is better.
Yeah,
just a bit more healthy, and and I think therapy was a big part of it. But also, a lot of it was just like realizing what I actually wanted, and like thinking for a second, and just going, you know, you love comedy, you're very lucky to do it.
Yeah.
Don't get too caught up on the negatives of it. Because you still got a much cooler job than a lot of people.
Yeah.
And you really love it, and most of the time it's a joy. So, you know, don't get too down about the little things. I still do a little bit, but it's 10 times better. The thing was ironic is, if you spoke to me this time last year, you wouldn't have noticed. Yeah. Like, I was fine. You know, like, you wouldn't have noticed I was in a bad way.
No.
And I wouldn't have talked about it. But now I look back on it, like, it wasn't great.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, mate. And do you, and the stuff with your mum from your from like because what the show's about.
Yeah.
Do you, did that affect you at all? Was that any long term?
Probably.
Probably.
Haven't got that in therapy yet. Oh boy, she's got that to come. The old divorce material. I'm saving that up. Yeah.
That's when you walk in and slam the door shut.
Yeah, 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 right. Yeah, yeah.
Now we're getting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just fall at her feet and go. I just need to tell you.
Yeah,
this.
Yeah, yeah. Can I call your dad? Probably. I mean, it's everyone's childhood has an impact on them, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
It definitely has. Yeah, I mean, probably is a reason I do comedy in some way. Mm. But I ultimately had quite a nice childhood. Like, it wasn't an unstable childhood.
It wasn't
really
horrific. No.
My mum was amazing. But yeah, there's definitely some sort of anger in me from it.
Yeah.
Like, probably some issues. Because therapy wasn't really a thing then when I was in the 90s. Well, it was a thing, but it wasn't as widespread.
No one talked about doing it. It was what other people did.
Really, in hindsight, we should have all gone to therapy. You know, like me, my brother, and mum should have all just gone individually to therapy.
Yeah.
And it might have, who knows, things might have been different.
Yeah.
But you can't change things, can you?
No, you went at the time you went. It's not.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something else as well, looking back and going, oh shit, I should have. I've now got to come to the conclusion, like, I can't change that. I can't change the past. I can't change. There's no point in me sitting there going, oh, if only. You go, I can't. Why am I lugging that around?
All I can do is
going forward.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I still do that a lot. I'm guilty of that.
I'm guilty of lugging the past around.
Like, big things from years ago. Just going, God, that gone a bit better. Then I wouldn't be here. There's still that. And yeah, I should just let that go.
Yeah. Well, I was worried about things from when I was like 10. Something I'd said when I was 10. And you're like,
wow.
Why are you, the guy you were with, that maybe like you pushed off his bike or whatever you did, he's not thinking about it.
What did you say?
I just pushed him off his bike.
That is bad.
I think I was jealous because I liked his bike. And I pushed him off it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a knobhead anyway. Yeah, he was really shit to me. And I think I just had enough. I mean, that's a nice bike. I just pushed him off of it.
He's now in therapy.
And now he's now in therapy because of Rich Wilson.
He's like, God, that rich guy pushed off a bike. And that was really the beginning of everything, really. Yeah. It all spiraled from there.
I've never ridden a bike again.
Yeah.
But me lugging that around, I'm like, right, in future, going forward, just don't push anyone off their bike.
And you haven't been able to do it every day, but yeah.
I mean, yeah, you're gonna fall off the wagon. In you know, every now and again, I see a guy on a bike, and I go to do it. Yeah, and then I have to physically say, no, leave him alone. Leave him alone. Yeah,
you've got your own bike now, Rich. I definitely lug around things from the past. Not that long ago, though. I don't think it's more like career stuff.
Right.
It's like, oh, that Edinburgh show, if that one night at Edinburgh had gone slightly better when this person was in, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But
you've got to let it go, man.
Yeah, you have got to let it go.
Yeah.
Because also, what I don't do is I don't think back to the good times. Because obviously there's been loads of good things that have happened.
Well, yeah, I mean, where you're at now, you know, you're with a great management company, you're in a good place.
Yeah, things are going all right.
Yeah.
And I don't look back and go, oh, God, I'm really happy that thing happened back in the... I just think back to the small negatives.
All right, yeah.
So,
but I think that this comes up a lot. I was reading Ruby Wax's book, and she was saying in that we're human beings are more predisposed to negativity.
To remember negatives, yeah.
Because that is what keeps you alive.
Yeah, yeah. So we shouldn't really go against that.
No. Stay negative.
Because if I was there, alive. Like, oh God, I did really well that gig 5 years ago. Oh, I'm really happy. I'll just die when I saw someone push me off my bike.
I think that's what I need to do. I need to push more people off their bikes.
Wake them up.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah, let's surround us with negativity. Oh, man. So when's your show?
My show is every night at 7:30.
Yeah. Whereabouts are you?
I mean, the Caves on Cowgate.
Just the Sonic.
Room. Just the Sonic fancy room. Really looking forward to it. It's a lovely
nice.
Little room. I was in it last year. I'm excited. I was at 3 p.m. last year. I thought I'd experiment with the afternoon.
Yeah,
I liked it. It was actually good.
I prefer it.
Great for numbers, but
Well, everyone goes to the big famous people in the evening.
So it's a risk. But I've gone back to the evening, so we'll see.
You'll be fine.
I think there are more people out. That's the logic in it. But we'll find out.
You'll be all right.
I've always been in the evening, but this is back to proper prime time.
I'm at 4:30, and I think I've my show last year was 6:30. That's the latest I've had. No, was it? It was 6. That's the latest one I've
had.
Right? And it was fine.
Yeah.
It was just at the right time.
Yeah.
You know, it was people. They had a couple of drinks as well,
oh,
so they're
good.
A lot more chilled out.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, I've always been 5 or 6 in the past.
Yeah.
And it's been nice. But yeah, inexplicably, I've just gone 7:30. No thoughts gone into it.
Running with the big boys.
Yeah. Just a decision that was made above me.
Well, it's not, I mean, I don't know if I said this before, but I remember in 2014, I did my first show, and I say that in quote marks, because it wasn't a show. It was just me doing my club stuff for longer. And I pinned an idea of the show on it. It was about my time working in a gay sauna, and it was called One Foot in the Gays. Yeah, no one came.
What was your, well, in the sauna or the?
No, yeah, well, oh yeah, loads of people came in the sauna, but
it's like a terrible sauna.
yeah, it's not there anymore because no one came. But yeah, I did that. It was the other side of the meadows as well because I like the name of the venue.
What was it?
It was the Cellar Monkey.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and I went, brilliant, I'll do that. And oh, great.
Didn't look
at
the location.
Yeah, didn't even look to see where it was. Just went, yeah. Forgot to put my time and dates on the flyers.
Oh my God.
Yeah, well done. So I had to fill it, yeah, shit.
What, you manually wrote it on?
Every day. You're on a maniac. 5,000 flyers. So yeah, there's only one way to go after that. Up.
Yeah. That's really bad. If that was me, Matt, I'd be thinking back to that every day. Thinking,
me telling you now, I've gone, oh, I did shudder a bit then.
I'm
feeling anxious
thinking about it.
But you, like you say, you feel you're in a better place.
Yeah.
You're able to talk about stuff.
Yeah, I think, you know what, I did a gig the other day for a mental health charity that like kind of uses music to talk about mental health, right? But this time they tried to do comedy.
Mm.
And I did my Edinburgh show, my new show, and they were really lovely. And the guy who organised it came on stage going, "Get up for Steve Bouger," and they're clapping. I was walking off, you know, as you normally would.
Yeah.
And then he went, "No, Steve, actually stay there." And he brought me back on stage. And he made me sit down and he goes, "I just want to ask you some questions about mental health." And I was like, oh mate, wow. I've just done an hour of stand up. I don't want to be sad. You know, I don't want to be not funny now for like 10 minutes.
That's it. Yeah,
so
he
started asking me. And at first I was like sort of cringing and, you know, what's wrong. But then when I actually started opening up about it, I talked about therapy and all that stuff, some of the stuff I just said. And then afterwards, quite a few people came up to me and were like, "Oh, it's really interesting to hear you talk about going to therapy." Nice. I was like, "Well, that wasn't in the show. Don't, you know, that's..."
Yeah, thanks.
"Focus on the other stuff."
The show was all right, but that last 20.
That last. No, but it was interesting because you could see people, not that in any way they look up to me, but it was like, I think it was like they'd watch me do an hour of stand up.
Yeah.
And probably thought I was happy and fine. And then to them watch me talk about going to therapy afterwards.
Yeah.
Made a lot of people just go, "Oh, okay, he goes to therapy." Like a few people came up to me afterwards and were like, "Oh, right, yeah, well, I've been thinking about doing it. Maybe I should."
Yeah, I think that's...
Basically, I changed life as well.
Did that come across? You're the Tony Robbins of comedy.
Yeah.
We should cut it. They cut it there. And basically, I changed lives. That's it.
That's the trailer.
That's the trailer, yeah.
Bouger is the arrogant approach.
Yeah. But I think that's, it's showing, like this podcast and things like it, is showing people that it's you can, there's a way of talking about these things without it being, you know,
definitely.
A doctor's surgery.
Totally. Yeah. Like, it should just be about like talking about having a bad foot, isn't it? And I think it's definitely changing though, isn't it? You can feel it.
Oh, God,
like,
people are
much better at talking about it.
Yeah.
Just not the older generation.
That's my dad's a prime example of that. You know, even now, I always make a point of hugging him and saying goodbye, and he just stands there, his arms by his side, and he's like, "Oh, I love you, Dad." And he's like, "Yep." "Want to speak to your mum?"
Oh, that's nice.
So he did tell me he was proud of me the other day. So,
did he?
Yeah.
What, unprompted?
Nice. Yeah. He just I rang up because of the podcast, and he just said, I'd been out and done a lecture, of all things.
Oh, right.
Yeah, because of this. And he just said, he goes, "Really proud of you." And I was like, oh
that's good.
My heart.
He got you.
And then I went to hug him and he went, "All right, we'll talk to you, mum."
He's like, "All right, that's a bit much."
Yeah, off.
One at a time, let's get
it. Yeah. Easy. I'm 73. Let's just, I've got a lot of shit to work through. But it was nice. It was a nice moment.
That's lovely, man. That's really, that's got me. Cool. My weakness is dad stories. So, you know, that films, if there's any like kind of dad son thing. In
film, really?
That gets me every time.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what it
is. Don't know why that is.
I don't know why that is.
How is your dad?
So, that kind of thing. So, that kind of thing. I was like, wow, that's beautiful.
And you're going to make your dad pay for a ticket to come and see the show?
Yeah. And then invoice him for the therapy. So, no, it's been 30 quid a week for a year.
If you feel guilty and pay it.
Yeah. Never speak up ever again.
Mate, this has been great.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you so much for coming down.
Appreciate it.
It's been really nice having a chat with you.
Yeah, great.
Thanks, man.
Cheers, nice, mate. Love to see
Insane in the membrane. That was Steve Bougeia. Again, another wonderful chat. Good luck to Steve in Edinburgh, mate. Sure you're going to have a great time. You'll find ticket details for Steve's Edinburgh show in the podcast description. The Edinburgh season continues next time with Jordan Brooks. Once again, I've got a few shout outs to say thank you to everybody again for tuning in. A few shout outs here. We've got a comedy fan guy. Thank you to you. 5 stars again. Brilliant. Thank you for your lovely review. X Neverland. Again, thank you very much. Really appreciate that. And Ruth Advent. Again, thank you. Thank you to everybody for tuning in. Really do appreciate it. You're all amazing people. Until next time, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and I'll see you again. Bye-bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.